I hope you made note of all of the different things in that song. We believe, that we hold fast to, that we look forward to. Because we're going to be looking at them over the course of the next few weeks, and of course, beginning last week, and what we believe about God, and began that scratching the surface of what we believe, what we hold on to and are unwilling to let go of. Those are the things that we're going to be focusing on over these next few weeks. Is what are the things that we do not ever want to let go of, that we need to hold on to as rock solid, because they are where we, Bethel, stand. I looked at a bunch of things. In fact, I was in one of the Sunday school classes this morning, and they were asking me about last week's bulletin cover, about the fact that it had the word creed across the front of it. And so we were talking about the different creeds and different things and what all was involved in that. And the idea behind the cover, which I probably should have done a better job of explaining, was to get us to begin to think that there are things that are foundational, that we build our lives on, and that we as a church build our ministry upon. Now, we could probably start a wonderful argument about the Apostles' Creed, and the Methodist version of the Apostles' Creed, or this version of the Apostles' Creed, or the Catholic version, or the Nicene Creed, or this or that, or the creedal confessions of different places at different times. We're not going to do that, because the bottom line is, what do we believe? Not what did they believe. What do we believe? Where are you? What is your creed? What is it that you're building your life on? What is it that is foundational to you? What these messages are designed to do are to give you the building blocks. If you find yourself feeling like you're on shaky ground, these are the building blocks you can build your life on. They are the things you can place your trust, your faith in. They are what Jesus said we should be about, and we should understand, we should know. And Paul, the writing apostle, the one who wrote more letters that we have than anybody else, Paul reminds us of and sums up for us his take, what we commonly call in theological circles, Paul's gospel. Like he's got his own version. But I mean, this is how he sums it up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, we read Paul saying these things to the Corinthian church, who, if any church needed building blocks to refocus their ministry on, it was Corinth. And so he reminds them as he's closing out his first letter, "Now I want to make clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, Peter, then to the 12. Then He appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born at the wrong time, He also appeared to me." Paul's statement of the gospel is not designed to be a theological treatment of all of the nuances of what difference the gospel makes. He is just laying out for you and for me what the basic elements are that change everything, that take us from being people who live in a world of bad news into a world that is changed by the good news. And so what is it then we believe about the gospel, about this truth, that what Paul passed on as most important, that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day, that all of that was according to the Scriptures, that He appeared to people after He passed away and was then resurrected to verify that He is alive and continued to reveal Himself even after everybody thought it was over. In other words, it continues. The good news is what the gospel is. We believe the gospel is good news. Now, there are a lot of people in our world who would instead say that the gospel is fake news. It's all based on hearsay and on the testimony of people 2,000 years ago who were uneducated and were deceived by this charlatan named Jesus, if that was really His name, who lived and pretended to rise from the dead, all that kind of stuff. You've ever heard anybody say that kind of stuff? I sure have. They want, just like they did when Jesus was alive and died, they wanted to say that the resurrection never really happened. They stole the body. Somebody hid the body. He never really died. All kinds of excuses. Folks, I'm here to tell you that we as Bethel are 100% convinced of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus was historically present on this earth. Jesus was, if you can even talk about it in terms of time, pre-existent with the Father and was a part of the creation and plan of God, that the good news would come into this world, that He, on the third day, was literally resurrected from the dead bodily in a way that was recognizable and still exists to this day, for He is alive. It's not fake news. Don't let anybody draw you into argument about it being fake news. It's not. Because I don't know about you, but as a believer in Jesus Christ, as one who has taken on the mantle of being a Christian, a Christ-like one, I'm not just following a teacher who has really good ideas and that if I would just live the moral life that he told everybody to live, that somehow or other it'll be good enough. I don't believe that. That's not good news to me. That's hard news. That's, I don't know if I can do that news. But to believe in Jesus Christ, that He died and was resurrected, paying the price for my sin, is what I stake my life on. And it's what you have staked your life on by the process of faith. That's why it's good news. When I placed my faith in Jesus Christ, it changed my worldview. It changed the way I look at the world. It changed the way I interpret the activities and things that are happening in the news and in the world around me. It helps me process things and see things because I know there is good news. I know that Jesus Christ has already won the victory. And even in the craziness of this world, even if it comes and costs me my life's already bought and paid for and I don't have to worry. It changes me. It changes you. The good news is good. And it's not just past tense. It's continuously good news. It wasn't just good news for Paul. It wasn't just good news for Peter. It wasn't just good news for the early church. It's not just good news for the people who are, quote-unquote, living in darkness. In the outer reaches of the world where they don't have what we have. Folks, it is good news for us. It continues to be good news for us. You know why? Because this world continues to be broken. This world continues to be lost in itself. It continues to be full of itself. And we need the good news. The good news that only Jesus can bring, which is why I'm so glad that Paul also gave us Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. We believe that the gospel is good news. And the reason it is good news is because we believe the gospel is powerful. It is powerful. That's what Paul is saying. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. It's not just that it could be the power of God, or it can be the power of God. It is the power of God realized in this world, in this day, in this time, in your life and in mine, if we appropriate it by faith. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. There is no other way to be saved. So folks, I want you to hear that and hear it clearly. That's not the message you see or hear in movies or TV, in the subtle worldview that is all around you. It is not what you're hearing from many of your friends and from your coworkers and your students that you work with. What you hear there is that, well, you know, Jesus may be a good way for you, but I have my own way. I'm going to do this my way. I'm going to accomplish it. You go all the way back to Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. The reality for each and every one of us is that when we know the name Jesus, we are accountable for the gospel. When we know what Jesus has done, we either say yes or we say no in faith. In faith in ourselves, if we say no, in faith in Christ and God, in His work, in His good news. And that word, that good news, when we say yes, is powerful enough to wipe away every sin in your life. That good news is powerful enough as it's released in faith to enable your broken life to be healed, for all things to be working together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. The power of God for salvation results in life and immortality that is exposed by this good news, by the gospel. Many people in our world today believe in what some would call nihilism, where when you die, it's over. There's nothing else. The good news reminds us that that's not the case. And every time we hear it, if we're honest with ourselves, every time the people around us hear it, if they're honest with themselves, they feel a twinge of hope that there might be more. I understand there are people whose hearts are darkened, there are people whose hearts are hardened, and they're never going to say yes to the gospel. I can't fix that. But the gospel, when it is proclaimed by you, by me, by the church, by God's word, when it is proclaimed, it is powerful enough to shine a light on the realities that so many in our world don't want to see. And that reality is a reality that overwhelms this world. One day, we're going to talk about this more in a couple of weeks. One day, Jesus is coming back. And when He comes back and He rules and He sets things right, there's going to come a time of judgment, and then there is going to be a complete recreation of the heavens and the earth. And everything is going to be wiped away. It is going to literally overwhelm this reality that you and I know. And be all new. Don't you want to start that now? Rather than have to wait for it? Then? The power of the gospel is that it begins that change in you and in me as we humble ourselves before the Lord and He changes us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8-14 says it this way. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, His prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And this is how this has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald, apostle, and a teacher. And that is why I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to guard that which has been entrusted to me until that day. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Paul, we see as he's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, he's writing to him saying, look, don't be ashamed. You see how that keeps coming back? Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Why should we ever be ashamed of the gospel? And yet so often, we would not call it being ashamed of the gospel. We're just afraid people aren't going to respond to it the way we think they should. And it's going to make us feel like they're rejecting us rather than the gospel. I know, I've been caught in that trap. Imagine what that looks like from the vantage point of the Father, the Son. It would probably look like we were ashamed of it, right? Paul keeps saying, don't be ashamed. I choose not to be ashamed of the testimony. Don't be ashamed of me as I make testimony. Don't be ashamed of the testimony itself. Don't be ashamed of any of that. We have been appointed as heralds, as apostles, as teachers, and we are going to suffer these kinds of things. But I am persuaded that He who is able to guard that which has been entrusted to me until that day. In other words, I believe that this gospel that we are living out, that we have committed ourselves to, that gospel is essential for life. It is essential for your salvation and for my salvation. As I said before, there is no other way to come to Christ or to come to the Father, to get eternal life. It's essential for salvation. It's essential for daily living. Now, here's a confession. Have you ever had those things that you had in your head and you maybe learned in school, or you learned in life, your dad, your mom, they taught you these things, and somehow or other they just got pushed back into a back corner of your mind and experience? And you just lived your life until one day something happens or you read something and it reminds you of what your daddy or your mama told you. Am I the only one who's had that experience? Okay, all right, good. Phew, man. I thought there was something mentally wrong with me. I was going to have to go see a counselor for. No. The reality is that the gospel is essential for our daily living. And too much of the time, I think of the gospel as essential for my salvation when I was 7 years old. And I don't think of the power of God in the good news of Jesus Christ as essential for me to live on Monday morning. I think I live in the result of that power being made known to me when I was 7. But I don't think of how I need to refresh my heart and refresh my mind every day about the reality of the good news of Jesus Christ. And maybe that explains why I am not as ready to share the good news with others around me, because I haven't been thinking about how imperative it is that I live in the context of the good news every moment of every day, because it is the power of God in my life, not just in my salvation. How about you? Is that one of those things you've known in your head, but you've not really let be? We believe that the gospel is good news, and that good news is powerful, and that good news is not just powerful, but it is essential for salvation and for our daily living as believers in Christ. And the last thing I would say to you is that we, Bethel, believe the gospel is our responsibility. It's not the preacher's responsibility. It's not the worship guy's responsibility, wherever he went. There he is. It's not Gary's responsibility to pray the gospel through, and the rest of us are just riding a wave. It's our responsibility. Jesus gave that Trinitarian call to go and make disciples to all of His disciples who were there. Not just the 12. He told them to go and be My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Not just to the 12. The mission of living and proclaiming and making accessible the good news of Jesus Christ is the church's responsibility. It starts with me as your pastor. It goes through the staff, but it's every member who claims the name of Christ, who has had the power of the gospel change them, to then share that good news. We are responsible to live it. That's why it's so essential for us to see the gospel as absolutely essential for us living day by day. Because in my own power, I can't do it. Neither can you. But by faith, believing in the good news of Jesus Christ every morning, His mercies are made new to me every day, and my opportunities are brand new every day, and my ability to say yes to Jesus and His empowering me and bringing me to where I need to be and to whom I need to go, and to say what I need to say and to stand where I need to stand, that is all fresh every day as I humble myself to the power of the gospel every day, because every day there's good news. We're just responsible for living it, and we are responsible for sharing it. As we live it, as the questions come up, as the opportunities to speak a word of encouragement or hope or challenge is given to us, we believe the gospel is good news. We believe that it is powerful, and we believe that it is essential. But do we believe those things enough to move us to where we will trust in, rely on, adhere to the reality of it, which means that we will then no doubt share it? Because it's our life. It becomes who we are. Now, there are all types of ways to share the good news. The biggest issue for us really is, are we convinced it really is good news for anybody but me. And once we are convinced, it's a straightforward thing to just naturally talk about that which makes all the difference in your life. All the difference in my life. Now, there is a straightforward way. We've talked about it. It's easy. You can use a napkin to share it and to communicate it. You don't have to use this particular look or anything, but there are these three circles. Go ahead and put that up on the screen. Should be up. God, and we've talked about this before, where we say there's a design for everybody. When people are talking about their brokenness, there's a God's design. But because of that little word sin up there, everybody in this world is broken, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, of what God intended for you, what you were created for. You can't get on your own because we're broken. But by repentance, and choosing to believe the good news, the gospel, we can allow God to heal and forgive. And as you see, as it goes back up on the other side, we can recover and in that process pursue a relationship with the one who created us for that relationship in the first place. Very simple. That's one way. What's your way? How do you communicate the good news to the people you care about? How do you show the difference that the good news makes in your life? Maybe you're not good on visuals and you don't want to do artwork and draw. Then maybe what you and I need to remember is how we started all of this. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. Has the good news made a difference in your life? Do you believe that the good news will make a difference in anyone's life who believes? Then as a person who is a part of Bethel who believes this, what now shall we do? That's the invitation today. What's the commitment God wants you to make about who you're going to be in your world in response to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who is the one, the two, three? Who are the family members, the friends, the co-workers that God's going to place in your heart and call on you to share good news? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Challenging message to me, I confess, but so important for us, your people. We believe. Help us in our unbelief. We believe. Give us words to speak and hearts that are unashamed and unafraid. We believe. Grow us in our belief in the good news of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. I pray this in Jesus. Amen and amen. Dan's going to lead us as we sing, but the most important thing is not whether you sing or even whether you stand. The question is, are you ready to do work, business with God in response to the call of the gospel today? Let Him do His perfect work in you. I'll be here if you want to counsel with me. The area at the front is available if you want to come and pray. But you make the decisions God's calling on you to make today as we stand, as we sing, as we respond.